Amen. I don't know about you, but I just love some of the Old Testament characters. Oh, to be like Caleb, who at 80 years old was ready for battle just as he was at 40. Oh, to be like David when everyone was cowering before Goliath and he stepped forward and just told the giant he was about to be slain. Oh, to be like Joshua, who boldly stood before the Israelites and told them that they needed to make up their mind about the living God. But as for him and his household, they would serve the Lord. Don't you love these seemingly spiritual giants? And yet underneath, you know, when you look at their lives in detail, they were just ordinary men serving an extraordinary God. Men who followed the living God. Men who believed his promises. Let's look at one of our verses in 2 Peter 1. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. We see here in this verse that God has given us everything we need for an abundant, spirit-led, spirit-filled, fulfilled life. Everything we need to live like Christ has been given to us if we'd made that decision to follow him. Now, here's a question, and it's a question I guess many of us have pondered. I certainly have pondered it. Why do some people seem to keep growing spiritually and others shrink back? Let me repeat that. Why do some people seem to grow spiritually and keep on growing, and yet others shrink back? Some fly and soar like eagles. Some never seem to make any spiritual progress at all. Remember, the Bible tells us that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. That's the promise. Others fall back, or maybe never even take off. There's that lovely verse at the end of our passage in 2 Peter 1, which ends with us receiving a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. A rich welcome. Isn't that what we want? Don't we want Jesus to say, "Welcome, well done, good and faithful servant," and to receive a rich welcome from him in heaven? Oh, the joy of that. We can hardly imagine what it's going to be like. Well, where are you today spiritually? I suppose this is a bit of a spiritual health check, if you like. Are you soaring with God, or are you going nowhere? I've entitled my talk this morning, God's Sat-Nav. Now, for the uninitiated, a sat-nav is a little receiver that is guided by 24 satellites that are positioned around the globe. And the sat-nav tells you where you are, and it tells you where you're going or where you want to get to. And God has given each one of us his sat-nav. That's a receiver within us, so we can tune into him and stay tuned in. Remember, the Bible tells us that we are made in his image. Each one of us has the footprint of God in our very DNA, in our very makeup. It's been somewhat hidden and distorted due to the fall of man and due to our sin. But nevertheless, it's there. And we need to understand how it works and ask, where is our sat-nav taking us? Remember sat-nav? Wrong code, wrong journey, wrong destination. So, how does it work? Well, we don't have the 24 satellites, we have Almighty God. How does it work? Let's look at our makeup and three things I want us to look at this morning. First of all, God has given us a desire from within, a desire for himself. Secondly, he has given us a mind to think. And thirdly, he has given us an ability to choose. When God planned our makeup, he decided to place into the heart of each one of us a desire for himself. Most people don't understand that or see it. They just know there's something within them that the things on earth won't satisfy. Some people call that the God hole, if you like. Jane and I, we love walking, and particularly along the canals and rivers. We're not great bird watchers, but we find it thrilling when we see an unusual bird. And we were walking along the River Weaver once, and we spotted several herons. Now, these are obviously quite large birds, but we also saw a tiny kingfisher. And we stopped and gazed on God's handiwork in this tiny little bird, this blue bird. Normally you just see a flash, but we stood and watched this quietly. And birds are amazing, amazing in their God-given instinct. There's a bird called the sooty shearwater that held the record for the longest migration for a bird. 40,000 miles that bird travels in a year. But that record was recently overtaken, and researchers discovered that the Arctic tern travels twice the distance previously thought, travelling on average 44,000 miles a year. That's mind-blowing. A bird, 44,000 miles a year. That's the homing instinct, from feeding ground to breeding ground for a bird. Well, deep down in the heart of every human being, God has implanted a homing instinct, a desire for God. Look at the psalmist and his longing for God. Psalm 42, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. St. Augustine put it this way, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God. This is part of God's sat-nav pointing us towards himself. Although people may not be aware of it or say it, the fact is that God is what every soul craves. Jesus said, didn't he, to the woman at the well, that the water that he would give would satisfy forever. She would never be thirsty again if she drank of this water. Ordinary water can't do that. We have to keep drinking it. Only God's Holy Spirit living within us can produce what God talked about. Sometimes late at night, I don't know about you, but I can't sleep. And then I start craving something, a drink or something to eat, a glass of fruit juice or a biscuit or a slice of toast. When that doesn't satisfy, I pick up something to read. And after a bit, I realize what I really need is just to talk to God. And so I do. Soon I'm back in bed fast asleep, or Jane saying, get up, lazy bones, you know the alarm's gone off. Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters, Isaiah 55. Come close to God, and he will come close to you, James 4, verse 8. Which watering hole are you drinking at? Are you trying to find satisfaction in the world, Well, only God can truly satisfy. Are you tuning a sat-nav towards God? Is the correct postcode in? Or are your eyes somewhere else? Two issues here, which we'll briefly discuss. Firstly, is our spirit of independence and not wanting to hand control of our lives fully to God? And secondly, do we try and dull the desire for God by filling our life with other things? Even as Christians, we can slip back, sometimes wrestling with God and telling him, I want to control my own life. This means, of course, there's no way we're going to grow more and more like Jesus or see the power of his spirit at work within us. One of the roots of sin is this spirit of independence, this attitude that I would rather depend upon myself. Oh, how dangerous that is. Ask the question, deep down, what do I really long for? I can guarantee that earthly things will not satisfy. The bigger home, the better job, more money, a new relationship. Only God satisfies. Switch on your sat-nav. Keep it focused on him. Set it in the right direction. Keep focused on Jesus. For his call is a simple one. To grow day by day more like him and to share his love with others. Obviously, we need a job to live. We need to care for our families. We need a home to live in. God knows that. But it's only in a close, deep down, ongoing relationship with God that we can experience the feeling of being loved and valued and our lives can find true meaning. Am I living to please God? Or am I living to please myself? Am I passionate about serving him? Or have I turned my back upon him and are lukewarm towards him? If we're not passionate about God as he designed us to be, we run the risk of being mastered by other passions and by wrong emotions. We can fall prey to those things that arouse our senses that may not be good for us and lead to unhealthy thoughts and possibly addictions, sex or money or power or possessions can really disrupt life's journeys and keep us from God. If we are gripped with a passion for God, it will overwhelm every other passion. Can I say that again? If we're gripped with a passion for God, then it will overwhelm every other passion. Caleb, Joshua, David were passionate about serving the living God. Am I passionate about the very same God? Are we passionate about God? That is the question. Secondly, as we think of God's sat-nav, God gave us a mind to think. His creativity is in us. Look at the discoveries that man has made. Look at man's ingenuity. But man's thinking is flawed. It's distorted by the fall and by sin. Ever since the fall of man, our minds have not operated in the way God intended. Our sat-nav signal is sending us on the wrong path. A bus driver was tasked with taking 50 Belgian tourists to the French Alps, got his sat-nav directions wrong, and ended up with a 1,200 kilometer detour, according to Belgium radio. There are three entries for La Plagne, and I selected the wrong one, the bus driver told Brussels Radio. Rather than head to the Alps, the bus driver took the road leading to a village in the south of France, near Spain, some 600 kilometers southwest of the ski resort. We saw the blue Mediterranean and Carcassonne instead of the white snow-covered mountains, a passenger said on Twitter, referring to the southern French town famous for its medieval fortress. The bus driver eventually turned back at Toulouse, and the holidaymakers reached their destination 24 hours late. The tourist host greeted them with Spanish cuisine, speciality tapas. How ironic was that? So, wrong direction because of wrong code. And so it is for us. What we think determines the direction we go to meet our needs. Our thinking is key. What do we fill our minds with? What is our focus? Philippians 4, verse 8, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right and pure, think about such things. Is that our focus? Fullness of life comes the presence of Jesus and his Spirit within us. We can so easily get our thinking wrong and turn to other things for satisfaction in life. We have the foolish idea that happiness only comes through having our own way, and it means we're self-centered instead of being God-centered. Our minds need reprogramming. The Bible is clear, Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be a conformer, be a transformer. J.B. Phillips, we know his translation is classic. Don't allow the world to squeeze you into its mold. Now, the word for transformed here in the original text is metamorphosis. It's only used two other times in the New Testament. One to describe Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration when he began to shine, Matthew 17, 2, and once to describe what happens to us when we will see the Lord, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. We need to be with Jesus and to see him, to give him our time and our energy, and most importantly, we need to give him our thinking. What is it that dominates your thoughts? Is it desires that the world gives, or a desire to serve Christ and to know him better? Paul's words in Colossians 3, verse 2, set your mind on things above. One translation of that text says, set your affections on things above. How graphic that description. Set your affections on things above. Where are your affections? Where are my affections? Live for heaven and you will enjoy your life on earth. Let me repeat that again. Live for heaven and you will enjoy your life on earth. How can that happen? Well, scripture gives many, many examples, and I'm just going to give one. Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He also tells us to lay up treasure in heaven. Now, this is not God's way of raising money, okay? It's God's way of raising our hearts and minds out of this world and into a much better place. Where are you investing your treasure? Is it in the stock market or the ISA savings account or the house or the hobby? Well, your heart and mind will follow also. One way we get our minds on things above, invest in the kingdom of God. Wherever he shows you, why not ask him? Focus on kingdom work, and there will be your heart and your mind also. So, God gives us a desire to point us to him, our minds to set us towards him, and thirdly, he gives us an ability to choose. God built in us the ability to choose. He didn't make us like a machine to follow instructions, or like animals and birds who operate mainly on instinct. We have freedom to decide which way we go and what plans we make. Interesting verse in Proverbs 19, verse 21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. God has given us the ability to choose to follow him or not, to serve him or not. He's revealed himself to every single person. No excuses. Look at Psalm 19, verses 1 to 3. The heaven declares the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes into all the earth, their words to the ends of the earth. Romans 1:19 tells us that God has made it plain to the whole of mankind. We are choosing beings, and we need to take responsibility for our choices. No matter how difficult our circumstances, we choose how we respond. Our wills can work against God or with him. We can choose to follow our passions, our feelings, allow our emotions to dominate us, or we can allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and his word to work on our minds. When we sin, it's a choice we make. We can make excuses about our background, our circumstances, our needs, but at the end of the day, sin is sin, and everyone is responsible for their own actions and choices. The saving grace, of course, is that Jesus paid the price for our sin. And so when we come back to him and repent, we find forgiveness. And 1 John 1, verse 9 tells us we are cleansed from all unrighteousness when we turn back to him. So we choose to sin or not sin. We choose to follow him or not to follow him. We choose to grow closer to Jesus or not. We choose passionately to serve him or not. What a joy it was last week to hear of Steve's testimony in the prison, to hear of Alison's testimony of working with families who have children with special needs. People passionately serving God in the area where God has called them to serve. So we choose to serve or not to serve. We choose to listen to him or not to listen to him. It's our choice. It's your choice and my choice. We get to choose. That is the way that God has made us. I pray that we make wise choices. So, in conclusion then, unless we function according to God's design, we will not thrive spiritually. It is he alone who can provide us with love and value and purpose in life. The Bible shows us the course we should take. Sometimes we may take a wrong turn or head in the wrong direction, like the Belgian bus driver. But if we recognize it, we can repent and turn around. God created us as dependent beings, to be dependent upon him. Are we living in such a way or are we living independent of him? The spirit of this age is the spirit of independence, the spirit of me and of my rights, of me and my happiness and my way. This way only leads to dissatisfaction and possibly disaster. As Christians, we can start out well, and sometimes without realizing it, can begin to move away from dependence on God to dependence on self. From listening to his spirit to overriding what he has to say to us and seeking other sources of satisfaction. God created us to think, but our minds have been distorted by the fall and by the sin. The Bible talks a lot about wisdom and wise thinking. This only comes from God and the renewing of our minds. Which way are we going? We get to choose. As for me and my household, we choose to serve the Lord. I want to be a Caleb or a Joshua. Do you know that passage in Joshua chapter 24 uses the word serve 13 times? Who do you choose to serve? Are you following God's satnav or following your own? I know which I would prefer to rely on. I know my inner satnav. I'm near the end. My own inner satnav is flawed. God is God. He reigns supreme, and his directions are perfect. Let's go with his. Let's receive his Son as Saviour. Let us each be filled with his Holy Spirit, who guides us, who will guard us, who will empower us. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. When we come to Christ, everything we need to live an abundant life, a fulfilled life, is given to us. Everything we need to live like Christ is ours. He gives us his Holy Spirit. We belong to Christ because his Spirit is in us. We are united to Christ through his Spirit. We are members of the body of Christ by being baptized in his Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the life giver, like a river of living water flowing from Jesus. Let our desire, our passion, our thinking, our choosing be Spirit-led and Spirit-filled. Let's make our calling and election sure, 2 Peter 1, verse 11, with a solid foundation in Christ and a passion for him greater than any other. Let's follow the one who is supreme, the one who made us, so we receive that rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, I don't know.